Hey guys, this episode is our wide receiver ranking 11 through 20. We don't agree on everything in 11 through 20, so stick around, hear our debate about why we love one guy or hate the other.
Welcome to the Coach and Commish podcast. No, not John Gruden, and definitely not Roger Goodell. It's Chris and Sean breaking down fantasy football for the everyday man.
Welcome back to episode 109 of the Coach and Commish. I'm the Coach Chris, to my right, the Commish Sean. And we're jumping into our second episode of wide receiver rankings. Again, we're only going top 10. Then second 10, which is 11 through 20 of our rankings.
That does equal 20.
That does.
Good math.
Good math. Yeah, up top. All right. So let's go right into it here. I mean, I'm used to weekly episodes, but last episode, we went three tiers with our receiver. And this episode, our 11 and 12 actually go into that third tier for us.
Yeah, and for those of you that don't know about the tier-based drafting, what that simply means is when you're in a draft, you're going to not just look at the number next to their name as far as how they're ranked, but more similar guys in the same tier. Like, if I don't get this guy, there's a couple other guys who are similar that I'll be happy with if they make it back around. So we're here on, what is this, our third tier that we're dipping into the end of?
Yeah. So this guy I had into my top 10.
He was a little angry with me. He wanted him to make that first episode.
Yeah, I did. But Amari Cooper at 11. Why do you think he should be outside of the top 10?
So the injury is the only thing that concerns me. It seems to be going well as far as him making it back. He's not back yet. That's why I'm a little concerned. I actually bumped him up before the episode a little bit. It seems like there's positive news that he's probably going to be back by the start of the season. But that's the only thing that scares me. I really like Amari Cooper. I think a lot of people are hyped on CeeDee Lamb and too high on CeeDee Lamb. Excuse me. But yeah, I think that Cooper in this offense is the one still. I don't think that happens this year, the flop. I think that CeeDee Lamb will be the two. And I love Cooper. I think he should be in this tier.
Yeah, so I love him because Dak Prescott loves him. We can't deny CeeDee Lamb's ability, but it's CeeDee was really high with Andy Dalton. It should be very well thought of that he's going to be finishing up there as well. But I like Amari Cooper enough to be okay with him as a tier three wide receiver.
Yep.
But at 12, we got trusty Mike Evans.
Yes, and I think we're a little higher than a lot of people are on Mike Evans. We were talking before the show, and this is where our tier ends for this. In our doc, it's the green tier, the third tier. And this is really, it sounds like it's, you know, cut and dry because this is our 12th player, so we're saying this is the last one we feel comfortable being our wide receiver one. It's not always the case every year, but he really is. Mike Evans is the last one that where if I leave the draft with him as my one, I think, okay, I've got an opportunity for a top 10 guy. I feel very confident that I've got that wide receiver one slot locked up, and I'm not really as prone to shoot, you know, for super upside later to try to hope I get that. But this is kind of the end of it. But as far as Mike Evans goes himself, what's your outlook for him this year? We're going to talk about Godwin in a little bit here, but kind of compare and contrast them at this point.
Between Cooper and Evans?
Sorry. Evans and Chris Godwin.
Chris Godwin?
Same, the teammates.
Mike Evans is going to be a 10-plus touchdown receiver. So
it's the touchdowns.
It's really the touchdowns. If you're in a
different
old-school traditional league, which you shouldn't be, those are prehistoric, and you love guys like Evans. Chris Godwin, he battled so much last year. We should see a better version of him coming in this year, and we can't forget A.J. Brown in that offense as well. But the touchdowns will keep Evans into double digit.
You mean Antonio Brown.
Antonio Brown, A.J. Brown.
We're going to talk about him in a second, A.J. Brown.
Antonio Brown, that's probably why, because I'm looking right at A.J. Brown's name coming up next. But Mike Evans gives you value in the touchdowns. because last season there were a couple two reception games for 2 touchdowns, 2 yards. Like literally it was something like that for Mike Evans in that offense. So he's touchdown proof.
I think what I saw was that at the end of the year when all those weapons were healthy, Evans did become the one. And I think that's going to continue. I think that Brady got the most rapport with him. He was healthy throughout the whole season.
Yeah.
And that's why I like Evans here as, you know, the 12th guy on our list.
All right, so at 13, so this starts our tier 4 here. We got A.J. Brown, who I just accidentally said a second ago for Antonio Brown. But A.J. Brown, and let's just talk.
We don't have Antonio Brown here.
We don't have him right up here. It's,
he's not in our top 12.
This is not yesteryear.
Even though Mike tried to trade him to me.
Come on, bro. A.J. Brown at 13. I had him, just around here, 12 and 13 in the rankings. Let's talk about his new teammate, Julio Jones. Just a second. Does Julio's addition to the Tennessee Titans take away anything from A.J. Brown?
I think, that's a no-brainer that it's going to take something away. I think the question really is how much is this going to take away? Because a lot of people were really hyped for A.J. Brown. We were kind of talking before the show. We're not one of them. I've never seen it with A.J. Brown. He, to me, is a great after-the-catch guy. He can, get the touchdowns. But I just don't see him in this offense ever ascending to that, top 10 wide receiver consistently. He's also been injured a lot. That scares me a little bit. But he's the first player that, I have him ranked here just because there's the potential and the talent is there. But I'm scared. There's guys below him that I may even draft over him just for safety.
Really?
Yeah.
Someone below him that you would pick up?
I would be willing to go with a Chris Godwin or a Tyler Lockett, which is our next two guys that we're going to talk about here. They're just, to me, they're more established. It's very scary with this Julio coming in. I don't know how it's going to shake out. I don't know who the wide receiver one is going to be. I would assume it's going to be A.J. Brown. That's why I have him listed here, but that's not locked in. Say, if Tannehill gets on the same page with Julio, I still think Julio has it and he's talented enough to take that. He could get more targets than A.J. Brown.
Yeah, so right at 14 and 15, let's just bring those guys together. Chris Godwin, Tyler Lockett. We don't see too much change. You were higher on these guys than I was.
Except for Lockett. You're a Lockett lover.
Oh, yeah, I'm looking down, yeah. So I love Lockett because people just keep forgetting about him because of Matt. I love Lamp. Great Anchorman quote. Tyler Lockett at 15 here, to me, it's a steal. Now, when Russ was cooking, we talked about it with Metcalf last episode, his numbers went crazy.
Yeah.
Some guys actually made good trades and sold high.
Yep.
And then it went down. But it's still, he's still a very good pass threat because he's an efficient outside receiver.
So to me, what is scary about Tyler Lockett is the inconsistency. And you saw that in the second half of last year where you just didn't know when to play him.
Right.
He would have this, I think he did have a 50-point week, and then the next week he had 2 receptions for 12 yards. And you're like, why is this guy in my lineup? And then he would do that. You'd finally take him out of the lineup, then he'd blow up again. So that's why I think a lot of the industry is down on him and why I think I have him a little bit lower than you do. That type of player frustrates me in my lineup, and that's why I'm not as willing to go with him over somebody like a Julio Jones, who I just feel a little more confident in weekly production.
That's two split takes there. I liked him. I think he's going to be more efficient because when he gets the ball, you looked at the inconsistency. That's two totally polar opposite views there, and I find the inconsistency comes a lot with the play calling.
Okay.
And I believe if they can find a good middle of the road, Russ, Pete Carroll, get in a little room. So we as fantasy drafters just be confident in Metcalf and Lockett's, PPR production. Just let us know how many targets they're going to get. Just make it simple so we can also bring Chris Carson back up.
So let's talk Godwin a little bit. We haven't talked too much about him. We talked about a little bit with the
at 14,
Mike Evans.
Yeah.
But to me, Godwin, he's got the potential to be even better than Mike Evans. It's just, to me, it's a question mark, and that's why he's here. I think that with the injuries last year, you didn't get to see what you wanted to with him and Tom Brady. Everyone assumes that he's the type of receiver that Tom Brady is going to like over a Mike Evans, but I'm not going to believe it till I see it, and that's kind of why I have him a little further down. He's somebody that I think could make us look bad. He could finish as a top 10 to top. I mean, he could be the top five. Let's be honest. The way Tom Brady was running that offense on a torn MCL.
Yeah.
So if he comes back and decides Chris Godwin's my guy and he's going to be my Julian Edelman, then we have him too low.
And Godwin last year was in and out of the lineup. He was my keeper from the year before into last year, and it really stunk for me because he was going stretches.
Burns without cut being deep.
There. Oh, so deep. I missed the playoffs. Anyways, at 16. So again, here in this tier four, we had AJ Brown, Chris Godwin, Tyler Lockett, and AJ Brown's new running mate is Julio Jones.
Yep.
Now, we were discussing how hard it is to believe in two Titan receivers. And with a Derrick Henry led offense. I mean, you have to, even with Julio coming in, you know that offense centers around Derrick Henry.
Yeah, so they're crazy efficient. They're going to run the ball a lot more than most teams in the league, so there's going to be less pass volume. And they've got two super talented wide receivers. That whole formula for me has been difficult to figure out how to get these guys both to be top 20 wide receivers. Mm-hmm. Just on the names, AJ Brown and Julio Jones, it feels bad for them to not be in your top 20.
Yeah.
But I think there's a possibility of that happening. And to me, this is like the scariest receiving core in the NFL right now, is because they're going to be drafted high and we just don't know how it's going to shake out. Maybe preseason gives us a little bit of insight, but I'm just a little scared. Julio's actually already got a little nagging injury, it sounds like, in camp. So that might be something to pay attention to. Just a public service announcement here. We're doing this at August 7th. Things are going to change. People are going to get hurt. Don't just watch this and think everything is exactly as we've said. Be checking the news and make sure that none of these players have gotten hurt, because that's football, unfortunately. People are going to get hurt. So
yeah, so it's where you let the numbers speak. Or listen to your body, right? Like your gut. Like, man, this offense in my gut, I feel like there's going to be regression for both receivers.
Yeah.
But then when you look numbers-wise, you start to stat out, you're like, for some reason, they keep coming out top 20, both guys.
Yeah.
So which one of those outlooks, those theories, whatever you look at, numbers from gut, what are you going to trust when draft day comes?
All right, and then a last guy that I would throw into this tier, this is a very, like, boomer bust tier, I would call this, and that's CeeDee Lamb. This is one that I think people at home will be angry with how far we have him down. Jump into the comments. Let us know why CeeDee Lamb should not be at our 17, which is, I believe, way below consensus. Actually, let me check what his ADP is going currently. So, yeah, he's currently going in the third round right now. So, you guys obviously don't agree that he should be this low. But Chris, talk a little bit why you think CeeDee Lamb, we just need to pump the brakes a little bit on that breakout.
Just the mouths to feed between Amari Cooper and the run game. And then we did not see Prescott and CeeDee Lamb together on the field. Right now in camp, again, it's camp stuff, talk about stuff, blah, 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 beat writers. But Dak Prescott isn't throwing right now.
Yeah.
He's got that shoulder injury, and it's probably just rust because he's been sitting off with his ankle surgery, coming back into camp. He hurts himself a little bit, not warming up properly. But guess what? He wasn't really throwing the ball to CeeDee Lamb over the spring when he was recovering. Yeah. This is something where you want to see him. You see CeeDee Lamb making these phenomenal catches in camp. But is it Prescott throwing it to him? No.
Yeah.
I think he's going to be I want to believe he's going to be a great player.
Yeah.
In that offense, because he's got all the talent in the world. But it's hard to trust when you haven't seen both of them really working well together. Even at the beginning of the year, CeeDee was getting a little bit, because rookie receivers, and Jefferson was an outlier last year, and we can look back in history, but rookie receivers take a while to get used to the offense. Does he have to have that same type of feel again this year because of who's at quarterback?
Yeah.
Not Andy Dalton, but Prescott. So,
yeah. And I think it's the shiny new toy syndrome is what's going on here. Mm. Like, it's exciting to think CeeDee Lamb can be a top 10 wide receiver. And I'm not saying that he can't. I think, like Chris said, he's extremely talented. He's in a good offense.
All right.
Amari Cooper, could could regress and could get injured. If say he gets injured, then CeeDee Lamb is fantastic, or he's currently injured, so that that could happen. But I just think that right now people are leaving Amari Cooper to die just because CeeDee Lamb seems like he's taking over the one. And I think they're jumping the gun a little too early. Talk to me next year.
Talk to him next year. So that was at 16. We had Julio Jones and CeeDee Lamb kind of tied here. As we go through 17 through 20, we had some guys tied here as well. So we're not, we didn't make new numbers. We just put in who in our top 20 rankings as the consensus broke it down. But we have teammates going back to back in Los Angeles. We're talking Cooper Kupp and Robert Woods, 17, 18. I don't care which way you flip it with them, really. Who would you like better, Cooper Kupp or Robert Woods?
So this is interesting because I think we have the opposite. So we can have a little debate here. Yeah. I like Cooper Kupp. I have Cooper Kupp ahead. To me, he's that guy that is going to give you the most upside at a shot for a wide receiver one. Like before, last season was bad. It was real bad for Cooper Kupp. It was. Everybody was projecting him to be one of those top 12 guys. And it did not happen. He went the opposite direction. He had a stretch in 2019 where he was, I believe, a top 10 wide receiver for the majority of the season. He actually might have finished. I think he finished top 10. And that's more what I think is a possibility in this new offense with Matthew Stafford. So that's what I see as hope, is that now we have Matthew Stafford stepping in. Sean McVay is going to actually be able to run the offense that he would have liked to. I think he was limited by Goff and what he was able to do. And I think that opens up more touchdown opportunity for Cooper Kupp. That's why I like him over Robert Woods.
Okay. It's a good argument there. The biggest thing from 2019 for Cooper Kupp was touchdown catches.
Yes.
Robert Woods is a PPR darling to me.
Yeah.
And that's why I give him a bump higher. Because, I don't know, it's Kupp and Thielen are, well, it's funny because Kupp is younger. Thielen's getting on the older side, but we'll talk about Thielen later. He gets more value with his, we call it the 10 zone. He's a some freaking amazing receiver, Houdini in the end zone to catch balls. Cooper Kupp didn't make spectacular catches in the end zone. He was just finding himself open. He knew how to sit in the end zone and get those touchdown catches. Robert Woods, to me, is somebody I know will get 10-plus targets in a game.
Yeah. And I think really the difference here is it's based on what you need for your team for these two. If you need somebody safe, then go with a Robert Woods. I agree with you. He's going to be that consistent get targets. If you need somebody with high upside, I don't think Robert Woods is cracking the top 10 anytime soon. So I think if you need the upside, go for Cooper Kupp.
Okay. And at 19, we have two guys tied here, Diontae Johnson, Adam Thielen. It's like two totally different situations.
Very, yeah.
Diontae Johnson
is... kind of what I just talked about, the upside versus the safety.
Diontae's got phenomenal upside. Just, Diontae, stay healthy.
No, this is what I need to tell you.
Yeah.
Catch the ball. Yeah. Don't drop the ball, because that doesn't go well. Remember that game. It hurt.
So I'll start off. I had him... Where did I have Diontae? I had Diontae outside of my top 20.
I have him just in.
Yeah, so the reason I was scared of him is because there's Juju... Once he gets off TikTok, he could play. And then Claypool, who is...
The mouths to feed. That's what you're scared
totally,
of.
Yeah, totally different receivers. A lot of different mouths to feed. But they're all three different type of weapons.
Yeah.
So to me, when it comes to where they are in field position, midfield to red zone, 10 zone, those are going to be different ways they're going to look at those targets for different type of receivers. And Diontae gets hurt really easy.
Yeah, that is a concern. For me, Johnson, the reason I have him as the wide receiver I would take from the Steelers is he projects to be the type of receiver that Roethlisberger likes to throw to. He is that Antonio Brown role. I'm not saying he's Antonio Brown.
You heard it here first.
That's where, you know, that's what he's playing in this offense, and you know, that's where value is, in my opinion.
Okay. And then Adam Thielen. He is a crafty receiver. Again, I'm a Vikings fan, but since his emergence, his emergence onto the scene, we haven't seen him regress below the top 24, and it's because he can make great touchdown catches. He had that stretch where amazing season where he's getting over 100 yards for what, 8-9 straight games.
Mm-hmm.
We won't see that now with Jefferson there, but again, he did that there with Diggs with a run-first offense. So I feel like it's he's proof enough that he can share the spotlight with the receiver because they're still going to go his way in the red zone.
Yeah, I think Thielen is one that if he was higher, if you had to draft him higher, it'd be a scary pick. At this point in his career, this is a great spot for him. I don't have any problem with drafting him.
And honestly, if I was in a draft and I saw Thielen dropping, he'd be my third receiver. I'd put that guy in the flex.
Yeah.
If somebody was allowing him to drop and I can get some more value on a turn or something, and I know that hey, the next guys aren't going to really look at him,
mm-hmm.
he's got the ability to be top 20, but I would love to draft him below the, I would say, in the wide receiver three range.
All right, and then lastly, we want to mention Kenny Golladay here. He's dealing with an injury right now. That's why he's pretty far down our rankings. I actually really like Golladay. He's going to be the number one option in New York. He got paid. I think he's super talented, but he has been injury prone. Last year was a rough one, mm-hmm. fighting through injuries, and he's already dealing with a soft tissue issue in training camp, and that scares me. So if that clears up and they say 100% go, nothing, you know, he'll be ready to go week one. He's our guy. I probably would move him up somewhere around the AJ Brown, Chris Godwin, Tyler Lockett area, somewhere in there.
Yeah.
But for now, I'm pretty hands off. If I'm in a draft, I'm going to let him fall pretty far before I consider drafting him.
New York, all football teams, but they're solid. The Jets has got some upside, but the Giants themselves just seem like a terrible place to play right now.
Yeah.
And when it comes to their weapons, I'm worried. I'm worried about how the team chemistry and the offensive play call is going to be with Danny Dimes at quarterback. And
why does he does not deserve that name?
I don't know. It makes a good ring. Danny, I can't even say his real
Daniel
name.
Daniel Jones.
Daniel Jones. You got no excuse. You got Kenny G there. If Kenny Golladay is healthy, you got to feed him the ball. And even with Saquon, I think Kenny Golladay could be a very good upside receiver. But you're right. Injuries hurt him.
Yep. And he could be a steal. You know, he's a guy that if you want to take a chance on right now when people are scared of the injury, I don't like to play that way. I don't want to take an injured guy. But if you want to take the gamble, he could pay off. So now that we've kind of wrapped up our top 20-ish, because we definitely went over 20 there, I just want to throw it to you. We like to kind of hit some values, some busts. So in this, you can even go back to the first 10 we did. Let's start with a bust. Is there somebody in here that you think people potentially are going to have drafted and then look back at through the year and go, man, that was a wasted pick?
In the top 10, I would have to go with Allen Robinson.
Okay. Allen Robinson, okay.
Allen Robinson because of the quarterback situation, not because of the talent, but we're all hoping Fields is going to be the savior over there, but we don't know a thing about it. Like, we don't know how he's going to play. What about you?
You're not going to like this.
Oh, no. Jefferson?
I think Jefferson could really burn some people this year. I think there is potential for that. We mentioned it in the first one, but if that defense is a lot better and they don't need to score points through the passing game,
right,
then he could the touchdowns go down. As you mentioned, Thielen is the TD monster. If he continues to soak up those TDs, I don't think Jefferson will be terrible, but people are going to be drafting him as a locked in like top six wide receiver, and that if he gets down into like the teens, you're going to be disappointed. It's going to feel like a bust.
Yeah, I agree with that. So
and then a value here
and the top 10.
Let's open it up to the whole thing, just based on, you know, where you're going to be able to draft them. I know you're not looking at an ADP thing. I'm looking at one currently here, but is there somebody in there that you think is just going to be a value for people that you shouldn't, is going to be somebody that falls in drafts that you think you can pick up and really, you know, cash in that value pick?
So let's talk some draft strategy in here. When it comes to value, you go double running backs for 1-2 round. That's yep. a very common thing to do. I love Robert Woods sitting down there just at the edge of a top 20 because there's some consistency in what he provides you.
So if you wait on a wide receiver, and obviously you're not going to feel comfortable as him being a wide receiver one, but if he's your wide receiver one to just stabilize the position, you're okay with that?
I'm okay with it. I'm not happy with it, but I'm good with him being there because, honestly, I mean, what, a Chris Godwin could be a good value
yep.
Coming down to you, so I wouldn't be bad. But I'm trying to think of a flow of a draft. If you wait till the third round or something, there's going to be a run at the receivers between round two and three, and Robert Woods will be sitting there in the fourth round or third round for you to pick up.
And then and a guy you claim to say that I hate, but I'm going to say Amari Cooper. I think he's somebody that's going to continue to be, dropping as CeeDee Lamb goes up. And if you could really end up with a top 10 wide receiver here in Amari Cooper and get him in like this possibly third round if that starts to happen. So he's a value that I really like. So
yeah, the wide receiver positions, we wrap up here. I think we're done with our boom or bust guys. The thing to know is that receivers are extremely deep.
Yep.
And it's because of the offensive change in the NFL. There's more passing going on. There's more three receiver sets. You don't see double tights very much. And then also even with a tight end look, it's you guys split out. So it means passing mindset in the NFL. And a lot of teams are shying away from bell cow running backs because of the durability issue. So it's much easier, much more efficient way to get short yardage by throwing the guys on the slot, and this is that coaching hat on. if you're not having to run between the mess of the tackles, you got yourself a great QB. He'll be feeding the ball to the outside, and these guys pick up in PPR leagues a reception for 4 yards. It's just 4 yards. Guess what? You get a half a point, full point on that reception. That's why the wide receiver position is so deep.
Yeah, that's a good way to leave it. But I'm going to put you on the spot here.
Oh, I know.
Hopefully you can. Maybe I'll give mine first and give you some time to look, but I do want to do kind of like a deep sleeper, somebody who we think that you can draft past, like, let's say the eighth round or so, and he could really provide value for your team. He's going to be a starter at some point. And for me, that guy is Will Fuller. It's going to sound like a homer pick.
I just pulled him up.
I think he's being disrespected in drafts right now, and he has the potential. Like, if you want me to pick a guy that I think has the opportunity, I'm not saying this is going to happen. I don't even think it's likely, but has the opportunity to break that top 15 and is being drafted outside the top 20, it's Will Fuller. He could be the one in this offense. He was paid to be the one in this offense. He is an extremely talented, efficient wide receiver. Hopefully it wasn't just the drugs. You'll have to sit through a one-game suspension, but I think he's somebody that, as a sleeper kind of sitting at the bottom end of your drafts, you can pick him up and feel like this guy could be in my starting lineup in a few weeks.
All right, rephrase the question real quick just so I can keep narrowing down, because I was literally going to bring up Will Fuller.
So, yeah, really what we're trying to give the people is somebody who, when you've pretty much filled your starting roster and you want to pick that upside guy that you think is going to potentially break into your starting lineup later and is a good value late in the draft.
All right, man, I'm going to go to the singing man himself, Marvin Jones Jr.
All right. Because you went real deep.
Real deep. Looking at who's going to be that true deep threat senior receiver for a young quarterback to trust in Trevor Lawrence in Jacksonville. I feel a healthy Marvin Jones was great with Stafford on deep ball throws. Mm-hmm. And I feel like if you need someone to throw in the flex or sub in there or, a trade bait of sending someone else off or in your lineup and you say, I'm going to move Marvin Jones now off my bench, he can do it because I feel like he can get between 6 to 9 touchdowns this season.
I think he's a good guy if you feel very, scared about what your wide receiver core is looking like and you're getting to the end of the draft and you're like, I need a stabilizing force, I think Marvin Jones is a great pick to just kind of throw on your team. He'll give you some weeks in there that you can for sure start him.
Yeah, and if right now out of camp with the Eagles, Devontae Smith is hurt.
Yep.
But he's another guy that I really, really like. Especially if the rumors,
injury scares me, though.
Yeah, especially if the rumors are true and somehow Deshaun Watson gets there. And then for some reason they delay his suspension.
Yeah, then, that ain't happening.
But. Yeah, that's really good. But he's injured right now. I would pick him up if he falls, even if he is injured, because he's got the talent to be a starter in your fantasy lineup, in my opinion, because there's nobody else there to fight with outside of Dallas Goedert.
Yep. So that is wide receivers for us. This is draft season. you know, just get in there. Like, we mention this a lot, but like, we're not the all gurus. Like, we don't know everything.
Speak for yourself. Okay.
But jump in and, like, you know, figure this stuff out yourself. We kind of like to be a talking point. You guys can hear what our thoughts are, and then go in and make your own rankings, because that's really a really fun thing to do. Go in and make your rankings, get ready for these drafts, and just crush it.
Yeah, man. So again, join our fantasy baseball,
baseball,
fantasy football chat on Facebook. You'll hear the outro guy bring that all out to you. It's been really good so far with the guys jumping in there. So if you have questions, that's the place to hit us up, that or Twitter. And anything else, Kamish?
No, just running backs is going to be coming up next. That's what everybody loves to talk about. I'm excited to talk about.
Yes, he is.
And just get ready for drafts, guys. Draft season is here.
Love it.
All right. See you guys.
Deuces.
Thanks for listening to the Coach and Kamish podcast. Don't forget to check us out on Twitter and Instagram at Coach and Kamish. And join our Facebook group called Fantasy Football Advice with the Coach and Kamish for direct access to weekly waiver wire and start sit advice.